As Charlie said last week, this series was my idea to talk about conflict because I think our world is really, really bad at it. I think we're terrible at having conflict with one another. Not the fact that we have conflict, because I feel like conflict is inevitable for people, two people who have different opinions, they come into conflict. But we're just really, really terrible at figuring it out, at getting together on things, at reconciling, at discussing things in a way that honors one another, at coming to a conclusion, even if that conclusion is agree to disagree. We got to work on this. And I feel like if God is the author of life and he wrote this book, then it should have some very clear things to say about conflict. And it does. But we don't know what they are. Or we're really bad at using them. Something's wrong. Because Christians are not known as peacemakers by and large. Christians are known as people who like to fight. And that's not good. That's really not good. Whether it's political divides, we got to figure it out. Whether it's economic divides or all of the sorts of things that can divide us in our culture, we have to figure out how to do conflict God's way, in a way that loves the other person, in a way that respects them. We can't just cut all conflict off and say, no more conflict, I'm not doing it, and just silo ourselves into people who agree with us. That is not the answer. And we can do that, you know, with the news sources that you listen to and the friends you have on Facebook. You just say, hey, just defriend me, okay, because I don't want to see your posts anymore. That's not the way God wants us to be. He wants us to figure it out. And some diversity and some differences of opinion are really, really healthy and really, really good. We don't want everybody to just be vanilla and the same. So we got to figure this out. Charlie started last week and he talked about how to have conflict and how when we have conflict with one another, oftentimes it comes from selfishness and pride. And he went to the book of James, and James is very clear that that's where fights come from, our pride and our selfishness. And he says that is friendship with the world, going after the things of the world. And he says we need to break up with the world, and we need to be friends with God. And then he went to Colossians 3, how it talks about seeking the things above. And I think that's so important. We've got to go that way. So we're going to continue on. We're going to realize that conflict is inevitable, but we got to fight fair. We have to figure out how to have conflict in ways that honor God, because we're going to have conflict. And Charlie kind of mentioned this last week, but I want to make sure that we throw this out there. We're drawing some of our inspiration for this series from this book, Resolving Everyday Conflict. And I think this book is a pretty decent book at helping us figure this out. And so if you're looking for a little bit more on this topic, you can try this book out. It's a short book. It's a small one. You know, it's only 114 pages. It's not like this really deep read. You could go through a chapter in probably less than 10 minutes. And then the same author has a much thicker book with a lot more. It's called Peacemakers, I think, if you really want to jump into it. But he's been helping people get through conflicts for a long time, and he's got a lot of wisdom and also goes back to the Word. So when I thought about this topic, when I thought about, okay, so how do we get along? How do we fight fair? How do we make this happen? This verse came to mind. This is Romans 12, 17 and 18. He says, Paul writes, he says, do not repay anyone evil for evil. Give careful thought to do what is honorable in everyone's eyes. If possible, as far as it depends on you, live at peace with everyone. And so as I went through this, I thought, okay, so what's our motivation here? What helps us get into this? And I've got several suppositions. You have a relationship you want to keep. Hopefully you guys have relationships you value. You know, whether it's a family member, a coworker, a neighbor, you kind of want to keep that relationship. And so when conflict comes up, you just don't want to cut them off. You don't want to say, eh, okay, we're done. I'm not going to talk to you again. Silent treatment. Instead, no, you want to keep this relationship going. But you also, when a conflict occurs, you need principles to help you because conflicts will come. And so you need wisdom like this. And so when I think about fighting fair, I think about, okay, as far as it depends on you, be at peace. And so you take responsibility, you look inside yourself, and you, okay, so what principles do I need for my life to get through this? Living at peace doesn't mean you never have conflict, but it means instead fight fair as far as it depends upon you. As far as it depends on you. So I wanted to start here with a juicy story about my wife and I and our recent conflicts. Give you all the dirt about how terrible she's been to me lately. I'm just kidding. I was trying to think of a story, you know, because stories are good and people relate to stories. And you guys need to know that I'm a human and that I mess up and that I have conflict sometimes. And so I really wanted one of those self-deprecating stories that's a little bit funny but a little bit serious. And I couldn't quite come up with one. So I'm sorry about that. We just didn't have quite enough conflict in the last couple of weeks. But, you know, I do have pride and I do have selfishness and it comes from within me and it shoots out of my mouth at times. And there are times when my wife and I have conflict over money. We think we should be spending it in different ways or saving it in different ways. We have conflict about sex. That's one thing people fight over as couples. And I'm not going to talk about that because my kids are in the room. We also have conflict about parenting sometimes, and I'm also not going to talk about that because my kids are in the room. But those are the things, you know, money, parenting, sex, those are things couples fight about, and my wife and I sometimes have conflict. Now, she's really good at living with me, and I'm all right at living with her, and we get along most of the time. But every now and then something crops up. So I think that I need these principles very much so, and this has been good for me, and hopefully it can be good for you too. Let's pray. Lord God, we want to come to you asking for your help. Lord, our culture is bankrupt, completely bankrupt. It's in the hole in this category. We're so bad at this. I pray that we as a church can get better, that Christians can get better, that they can be peacemakers. They can be people who learn the lessons that you give us in your word, who figure it out, and are able to honor you and honor the other person. Teach us, Lord, in Jesus' name, amen. Okay, 5 principles for fighting fair. And I'd call them rules because that works better, but they're really not rules because a rule is something you always have to do exactly this way. But this is more of a principle. This is wisdom for us to try to figure this out, to try to get better at these things. And fighting fair, this is all of these things are up to us. What can we do on our side of the conflict to try to do this? How can we be better at fighting fair? So the first principle that I have for us is pursue peace. And maybe you just said, well, hey, I thought this was about fighting fair. Well, yeah, but we have to start way, way, way back at the beginning in ourselves. Charlie's message last week really kind of takes us into this territory, so I won't spend too much time on it. But our relationship with God and the peace that we can get from Him should be our starting point. And maybe you're here this morning and you're still kind of working on your way towards God and still trying to figure this stuff out, and you're not sure if you have faith or not, and that's great. I'm so glad you're here. But God wants peace with you. And He has come into this world as Jesus to bring peace into your life so that He might have a relationship with you. So you got to figure that out. Every person has to figure out what they're going to do with Jesus. Jesus said. John 14, he says, "Peace I leave with you, my peace I give to you. I do not give to you as the world gives. Don't let your heart be troubled or fearful." So we can get in with God and we can seek the things above and we can kind of find a groove in life where we have some peace. And then that can kind of get going and we can pursue that and we can give ourselves to that. God gives peace. In Philippians 4, "Don't worry about anything, but in everything, through prayer and petition with thanksgiving, present your requests to God, and the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will guard your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus." Wow. We need that. In a world with so much conflict, we need to find peace with God and find peace in our hearts from Him. God can help us conquer our selfishness and our pride so that we can be at peace. You know, I was thinking of, it's kind of like Newton's first law. Can anybody tell me Newton's first law of motion? An object at motion, you know, that one, the one that you learned a long, long time ago. It if it's at rest, it tends to stay at rest, and if it's in motion, it tends to stay. And so I feel like if you start off at peace, if you have this core of peace within you, you say, okay, I'm at peace. I'm not in motion. I'm not freaking out. I found peace with God. God has given me His peace. Then it's harder to rattle you. It's harder to get you. You know, when you're all stirred up and, you know, you got a coworker who's been ragging on you and you know, you trip over your husband's shoes as you come in the door and the dishes aren't done and, you know, the kids are fighting. It just kind of, you know, the pot boils over. But God can give us peace. We can feel so stuck. You can be like, okay, well, my life is stressful. How am I supposed to have peace? Well, that's when God shows up. Because a part of the fruit of the Spirit is peace. If we are in Christ, if we know God and have a relationship with God, then His Spirit is in us, and it should show itself by giving us this fruit. And an aspect of that fruit is peace. And sometimes it's just a miracle. I mean, that's when you really know it's from God. When you shouldn't have peace. I mean, when you're sitting back in a lawn chair and you're sipping a cool beverage and you're watching the sunset and it's just the perfect idyllic, you know, scenario and you have peace then, well, no, that's kind of natural. But when you're right in the middle of frustration and suffering and stress and pain, if you can have peace then, oh my goodness. Then you know this has to be from God because there's no logical reason why I should be at peace right now. But I have peace. So we got to pursue peace. And that's where we start with. If you're looking to be better in your conflicts, start with your own heart before God. Seek the things above, like Charlie talked about last week. Okay, so what's next? Well, another principle is just to kind of count the cost of the conflict. You could say, okay, so here we are, we're about to fight over this because you think this way and I think that way. Well, wait a second, is this really important? Should we have a conflict over this? Is this a big deal or is it not? A person's insight gives him patience and it's his virtue to overlook an offense. Be wise. Slow down, consider, step back from the situation a little bit. Count to 10, count to 100, or 1,000. Take a step back. Let wisdom give you patience. It's good to let something go. It's good. It's his virtue is to overlook an offense. Here's another verse 4, it's out of Proverbs. Good wisdom principles. To start a conflict is to release a flood. Stop the dispute before it breaks out. And the word picture there is a dam breaking. And so you go up to the dam and you're like, I wonder, and you poke, and it just comes breaking out towards you. And you know, I know people like this. You see them and you're like, okay, you're in a mood, aren't you? Wah! They explode in your face. Conflict often snowballs. And one offense, you bounce that back and you say, oh yeah, you're going to call me that. Well, I'm going to call you this. And you're this way, I'm going to fight you back with you that way. And that sort of conflict just keeps going and going and going and going. Rewind. Cool down. Love, love, love. 1 Peter 4:8. Above all, maintain constant love for one another, since love covers a multitude of sins. 1 Corinthians 13, I don't have this one up there, but it says that love doesn't keep a record of wrongs. Boy, that's easy to do in a conflict. And then Ephesians 4 calls us, so with all humility and gentleness, with patience, bearing with one another in love. And you're probably going to realize that there's some people who need a little bit more of this from you than others. That you have a tendency to feel offended by this person or that person. This is just the way that they come off to you, that they rub you the wrong way. That doesn't mean that you just get to bite their head off. It doesn't mean that they are exempted from the rule that we're supposed to love. We got to care enough for people. And sometimes that just means just walking away. Just saying, you know what? I don't think this is worth having a conflict over. Not a big deal. I think about this guy. Anybody know who this guy is? He was a lieutenant colonel of the Soviet air defense in 1983. Does that help? So what happened was he was sitting there and he was watching the nuclear system. And it was telling him that the U.S. had just launched a nuclear weapon at the USSR. And he was like, okay, so what do I do? Do I report this? And boy, if I do that, then the Soviets are going to launch their nukes back at the U.S. and World War III, maybe the end of the world. And he sat there and he had to make a decision. Am I going to escalate or not? Am I going to walk away from this offense? And then three more blip up. Like the U.S. just shot four nukes at them. He said no. He considered it to be his duty to make the call on if this was a false alarm or not. And he said, you know what? I think this is a false alarm. I'm not going to send us into World War III. And so he de-escalated. He saved the world by choosing not to enter into the conflict. Be wise enough to realize that fighting fair sometimes just means walking away. Just saying, you know what? This isn't worth it. This is not worth it. Okay, a third principle for us. Listen and learn. We've got to understand where the other person is at. That is loving them. You want to love the other person. There's this principle of love. To love them, you need to understand a little bit about what they're going through. You have to ask good questions. And boy, there's a lot of wisdom from God's word about this. The one who gives an answer before he listens, this is foolishness and a disgrace for him. Boy, if you want to pick on our culture, this is definitely one of them that where we flunk. People get so riled up and they're like, okay, I'm going to get you. And they type out their response and without even completely reading the post or whatever, and they just go crazy, pummeling one another. We've got to stop doing this yet. Or even in a conversation when it's not even online, you can be like, okay, this person's telling me their thing and they are so wrong. I can't wait for them to stop talking so that I can really blast them. No, 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 no. We got to listen. We have to try to understand where somebody else is at, and that can be really hard, especially if you start off in this place of like antagonistic, you know, conflict, and you're just like, I really disagree with probably almost anything that could come out of your mouth. You're one of those people who stands with the red team, or you're one of those teams people who stand with the blue team. And we don't listen, and we don't understand. Boy, we got to get better at this. The mind of the righteous person thinks before answering, but the mouth of the wicked blurts out evil things. We are good. We are really, really good at blurting out evil things. I know I am. James 1:19. My dear brothers and sisters, understand this. Everyone should be quick to listen, slow to speak, and slow to anger. I've heard the adage, you know, you've got one mouth and two ears. Use them in that ratio. Listen twice as much as you talk. We have to listen. We have to understand another person's point of view. How else can we engage them with love and honor them as somebody who carries the image of God? This honors God first and foremost, but it also honors the other person if we're willing to just slow down and listen. How do you do that? That's tough. You have to listen reflectively. And it's a skill. You got to be able to get good at this. You have to be able to say, okay, so I hear you saying this. Let me reflect back to you what I hear you saying. And then they say, no, absolutely not. That's not what I'm trying to say. I'm trying to say this. And you're like, okay, so you're saying this? And they're like, yeah, I'm saying that. Well, then you understand them. Hopefully you understand where they're coming from. And especially if they're a fellow Christian, hopefully you can find that common ground and say, this is what God calls us to in this aspect or that aspect. Slow down. When you answer reflectively, when you listen reflectively, it de-escalates things. Then somebody knows you're caring about them, and you're not just trying to state your opinion and push back and make them know that you're right. Try to understand. Listen and learn. Can you explain the other side of the argument? Do you understand enough about what the other person is going through to explain it? I think if it's up to us, these are the sorts of things we must do. This is fighting fair. Be at peace, count the cost, listen and learn. Then, you guys are going to love this one. You got to check yourself before you wreck yourself. We got to look inside and we got to say, okay, so I might be a little wrong. There might be a few things that I'm not exactly perfectly right about all the time. Matthew 7, Jesus said this, why do you look at that splinter in your brother's eye, but don't notice the beam of wood in your own eye? Or how can you say to your brother, let me take the splinter out of your eye, and look, there's a beam of wood in your own eye. Hypocrite, first take the beam of wood out of your eye, and then you will see clearly to take the splinter out of your brother's eye. I saw one of those dramatizations of Scripture once, and when Jesus was going through this passage in Matthew, he picks up this log, and he like sticks it off of his face. He says, if you have a beam in your eye, and so that's what comes up whenever I read this. I think, man, you don't just have a little problem, you have a big, big problem. You are rarely 100%, 1,000% right on everything. Where might you be wrong? To really fight fair, you got to go into that place. You got to find this spot and say, okay, so here, you know, I didn't do that completely 100% right. And you have to go more into that. You have to say, you know what? I did that wrong. I was not right. I was wrong. And that's hard. That takes humility. How do we find that place? Here's three verses that help us find that place where we are wrong. Psalm 139, God helps us. Search me, God, and know my heart. Test me and know my concerns. See if there is any offensive way in me. Lead me in the everlasting way. Wow. If you are in a conflict and you're like, okay, I got to step back for a second, and you pray this, get ready. Because God oftentimes speaks to us and he says, you know what? You probably could have done that a little bit better, couldn't you? And he challenges us. God can help us figure out where we're wrong. The Word can help us. The Word of God is living and active, effective and sharper than any double-edged sword, penetrating as far as the separation of soul and spirit, joints and marrow. It is able to judge the thoughts and intentions of the heart. We talk about this a lot. We encourage this a lot. We'll keep doing it. You got to know this book. You got to say, God, okay, so where might I be wrong? And you're reading it, and you're reading it, and you're reading it, and you're just like, oh, yeah, there's that verse. Wow, I stink at that one. And you say, God, I'm wrong. I'm wrong, God. Help me be humble. Here's a third thing that can help us find where we're wrong. And this one's scary. Listen to counsel and receive instruction so that you may be wiser later in life. Maybe if you think you're 100% right, you need to go to somebody else and say, you know what? Here's my situation. I'm all 100% right, correct? And they'll be like, I don't know. Especially if this is the person that you're in conflict with, getting their counsel about where you might not be right is super tough. And maybe you get a third party involved. Maybe you talk to somebody else. But getting that counsel is super wise. It takes humility. It's hard. It's hard to hear that from somebody else that we're wrong, especially if it's somebody we respect. But it's really important. Here's from the book, a quote from the book. He says, even if I am only 2% responsible for a conflict, I am 100% responsible for that 2%. And you gotta do something about that. To pursue peace, to count the cost, to listen and learn, then you figure out, hopefully God helps you figure out where you've been wrong. Okay, I got one last principle for you. Any guesses? Any guesses? What do you think? No guesses? Nobody? Apologize? It's not apologize. So I thought apologize would be the next step, right? Because that's what I think. You say, I'm sorry. I messed up. I'm sorry. Okay, but the Bible really doesn't use the word apology. And I wanted it to. I even did, you know, kind of one of those things where you get on Google and you say, what does the Bible say about apologizing? And it doesn't really even use that word. And that frustrated me. I had to, you know, work on that. It doesn't talk about it. It talks about repenting. And that is a much stronger word. It talks about confessing. And that's a lot bigger deal than just saying, you know what, I'm sorry, I messed up, sorry. I mean, in some ways, that's kind of a weak repentance. To say, I'm sorry, you express regret, and that's okay. But are you really changing your mind? Now, you look up repent, and to be sorry is one aspect of it, changing one's mind. Turning back or returning is another sense of the word. In the New Testament, again, it's change one's mind, and it's regret and remorse. And so it's a sense of, you know what? I have done wrong, and I wish that I had not done wrong, and I want to turn and not do that wrong again. And so I'm confessing that to you and telling you that I wish that that wouldn't have happened. Would you please forgive me? That's hard. That's a lot harder to do than just go, sorry. I'm sorry just oftentimes doesn't cut it, doesn't help us get back to being in good relationship with one another, to be reconciled. Here's an example from Scripture. He doesn't say, I'm sorry. Be on your guard. If your brother sins, rebuke him. And if he repents, forgive him. And if he sins against you 7 times in a day and comes back to you 7 times saying, I repent, you must forgive him. So instead of just saying, I'm sorry, he says the stronger word, I repent. It's not working? Okay, there we go. Rex is back there being the man, telling me when it's not working. Thanks for confronting my sin in that. Okay, so he says, I repent. A confession of repentance. Confession is to acknowledge sin and guilt verbally. And to say, you actually say it. So we have to do that. It's much stronger than simply saying, I'm sorry. And, you know, this is the attitude that we're called to do before God. You look up the word repent, and almost all of the words talk about us and God and how we have offended God, and we must be right with him. So we must turn from our sin and say, God, I want to trust you and put my faith in you. That's the relationship that we have with God. That's a wonderful, beautiful thing. But we also must do this with each other when we wrong one another. And even if it's that just that 2%, we have to go and we have to say, you know what? I was wrong. I'm sorry. I shouldn't have done that. That wasn't the right thing to do. And I hurt you. Would you please forgive me? Proverbs 28:13, the one who conceals his sins will not prosper, but whoever confesses and renounces them will find mercy. Now, this is a wisdom principle. With God, this is what we get because he's willing to forgive, but we have to ask that of somebody else and hope that God is in them helping them forgive. We'll talk about forgiveness in later weeks. But on ourselves, as far as it is up to us, this is what we must bring to the other person, an attitude of repentance. I don't want to do that anymore. I messed up. Sorry, would you please forgive me? There's another word that's used in Scripture when talking about people, and it's the word reconciled. And oftentimes, there's several times in Scripture that reconciled is used to talk about, again, our relationship with God. And that is a one-sided reconciliation where we have to change our mind and we have to come and we have to go to God and we say, I want to put my faith in you. And God loves us and he reconciles us to himself. But there's another word that gets used in Matthew 5. And this is when two people need to be reconciled together and they both are in the wrong. Right? So he says, first go and be reconciled with your brother or sister, then come and offer your gift. And it's the story of offense. An offense has happened. And this is so important that you would cease what you're doing to honor God and worship God in something like the temple and offering a sacrifice. That's the example. And instead, go and be reconciled with them first. Repent and confess and ask for forgiveness. Be reconciled. How? How do we repent? What makes a good confession of repentance? More than an apology. To honor God and to honor the other person, we've got to do this. And I just took from this book, and you can go to this book because I'm just going to gloss through it, but they've got 7 different things that you can do to really make sure that you've done everything that you can do on your end to be right with the other person. So they say, address everyone involved. Your confession should reach as far as your offense. So if what you've done has affected a lot of people, you got to talk to them all. Avoid if, but, or maybe. I'm sorry what I said, but you made me really mad, and so it was kind of justified. Don't say that. That really cuts the legs out of what your repentance shows, that you're really not accepting responsibility. Admit specifically, to just say, hey, you know what, I'm sorry, messed up. But if you say, hey, you know what, when I did that, I realized that it did this to you and this to you and this to you. Acknowledge the hurt. Say, you must have really felt embarrassed, or I realized how that hurt you, or that how that made you feel bad. Or maybe you need to just ask, hey, help me understand how this hurt you. Number five, you got to accept the consequences. Maybe you need to ask, is there a way that I can make this up to you? How can I help us heal this? That's reconciliation. You got to alter your behavior too. You know, are you really repentant if you're going to keep doing it? You say, hey man, I'm sorry I left the dishes next to the sink instead of putting them in the dishwasher, but I'm going to just keep doing it. No. You have to actually change. And then finally, ask for forgiveness. You have to say, would you please forgive me? And understand sometimes that that is a process, especially if it's a deep hurt. And you're like, oh man, they just asked me to forgive them, and I want to, kind of, but this is hard. Sometimes it can take time. And if you're saying, please forgive me, maybe you need to say, hey, is there anything else I can do? Please let me know. If we can do those seven things, boy, I think it's going to really help us. Okay, it's a lot to take in. Nothing like having a list of five principles, and then nested within the five principles, you got seven things to do. There's a lot here. And again, I think that book's a good book, 116 pages, I have it written down so I wouldn't forget. 116 pages, not a long book. Small pages too, big font. But it helps us. We need this sort of help. We're terrible at this. Our world needs to get so much better at this. And maybe you need to buy 10 copies of the book and give it out to everybody in your circle and say, hey, you should read this. We got to get along. We got problems. We're losing relationships because we're so bad at this conflict. We got to get better. Pursue peace. Count the cost. Listen and learn. Check yourself. Repent and confess. This honors God if we can do these things. If we can actually get along, wow. If we can have marriages, if we can have relationships, if between parents and children, if friends can get along, coworkers, neighbors, that's a pretty amazing thing. I'm going to close with this verse from Philippians 2. Do everything without grumbling and arguing, so that you may be blameless and pure, children of God who are faultless in a crooked and perverted generation, among whom you shine like stars in the world. When we honor God in our conflict and we honor each other, boy, I think it's really going to show out. And it's really going to bring honor to God. It's just going to, we're going to be very, very different than the world around. Let's pray and ask for help. Lord God, we just admit how much help we need. It's overwhelming how much help we need. But I thank you that you are our God who loves to help us, that you're with us, that you're for us, that your Spirit can encourage us, that we can encourage one another, that especially as we get better and better at these things, that it can feed into our relationships. And that we can be at more peace. Lord, this is such a good thing. Your word is very clear. Help us live this way more and more. In Jesus' name, amen. Appreciate you coming out here today. We do have a prayer corner over here with people who would love to pray with you if you got something on your heart and mind. Come on up and let's talk about it. Thanks.